Today's daf is Menachis Daf Pei Bav, and we will begin from the Mishnah in the middle of Daf Pei He Amid Bei. Zok the Mishnah, Tokoya Alpha L'shemen. The best oil available in Eretz Yisrael came from a place called Tokoya. Abishal Loim Abishal says Shniela. The second base place was Regev, which was not in Eretz Yisrael, but rather was Be'evra Yarden, on the other side of the Jordan River. Kala Rotzis Hayik Shemes. Really, you can take oil from all Arotzis. Ela Mikan Hayim Avim. But L'katchiva, you should take it from Tokoya, which is Alpha, and Regev, which is, I guess, better. But the point is that you want to take from either Tokoya or from Regev. This is obviously for oil that was used in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, oil was used in the Beis HaMikdash primarily for the Menachos. That's why we're talking about it right now. Additionally, for the Menorah, we'll see more about that later. You're not allowed to take oil from olives that grow in a field that is fertilized, or from olives that grow in a field that relies on irrigation, or from olives that grow in a field where other things are planted. So if things are planted in between the olive trees, that would disqualify those olives to now be pressed and use its oil for the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Vim hevi, stating that, b'di'eved, all the aforementioned oils are kosher. Im avin and piknoin. So the Rishonim have different gersois in exactly how to pronounce this word, but we'll go with the girsa and piknoin, which we'll see later means unripened olives. Vim hevi, b'di'eved, kosher. Im avin, min agargarin, shadashim b'mayim. You're not allowed to take oil from olives that were soaked in water. V'loy min akvashim, or from olives that were pickled. V'loy min ashlukim, or from olives that were cooked. Vim hevi, b'di'eved, pasal zach de gemara. The Mishnah began, tokoya alfa l'shemet, that the best oil, the best olive oil in Eretz Yisrael came from a city called Tokoya. The pasuk says, "Vayishlach Yoav Tokoya, vayikach misham isha chachama." So the context over there is Yoav is trying to broker peace between Avshalom and his father David HaMelech. So he calls for a very wise woman. And where did this woman live? She lived in Yoav, in Tokoya, and she's going to come now and she's going to consult so that she can try to help navigate this process. Says the Gemara, Maishna Tokoya. Why did Yoav go to Tokoya Dafka to find this Isha Chachama? Rabbi Yechon, and said, Mitoichsha Regilim B'Shemen Zayas. It's because we said that Tokoya was Alpha L'Shemen. There was very good olive oil in the city of Tokoya, and as a result, Chachma Metsuya Behen. The people in Tokoya were wiser than ordinary people. As a result, it wasn't a coincidence that Yoav went to Tokoya to find this Isha Chachama, but rather it was because there was so much olive oil. It's for that reason, Chachma Metsuya Behen. It's of course based on the Gemara in Hayriyas Daf Yud Gimel. We'll see more about that later. Tanu Rabbanon, V'toyva B'Shemen Ragli. The Pasuk says, regarding Asher, this Pasuk is in Parshas V'zois HaBracha. The Pasuk says, Ulo Asher Amar, Baruch Mi Bonim Asher. Asher is going to have so much oil that he's going to be able to bathe his feet, not in water, but rather in oil. Says the Gemara, there was so much oil that it literally ran like a mayim. Amru, it is said, the people that live in Lutki needed oil. So they hired a broker. Amru, they told him, go buy for us 1,000,000 mana, 100 times 10,000, back of the envelope arithmetic, 1,000,000 mana, that's the weight of the oil. Halach Yerushalayim, he went to Yerushalayim. Amrulay, they told him that we don't have this kind of oil in Yerushalayim. If you want such oil, lech letzor, go to the city of Tzor. Halach letzor, Amrulay, they told him, I'll be honest with you, Tzor can't facilitate this much oil. Lech legush chalav. Go to the city Gush Chalav. Halach to Gush Chalav. He went to Gush Chalav, which, by the way, was Bechelkei Shal Asher. They told him, Lechel to Pliny. Go to Pliny. L'sada Halas. He lives, he works that field. You'll find him. Go speak to him. He can work it out for you. He's going to get you the oil that you need. So the Yid goes. Actually, he wasn't a Yid, Rashi says. This Oyvid Avay Dezora goes, Umatzai, and he finds this person. He was doing work underneath his olive tree. He was the farmer. He was in the field. So he told him, do you have this 1,000,000 mana of oil that I need? So he told him, come back to me at the end of the day. I'm working right now, and then we'll talk. Him to match Asayim Elachtis. He waited until he finished his work. So this person took his kelim, put it in a bag, a sack, over his shoulder, and he started walking home. And as he's walking home, he was picking up stones, acting like a farmer. So he told him, Yesh lecha shem b'mei ribay, because this person wasn't really getting the sense that he was sitting with such a gevir, someone that was able to satisfy this order that he has to make. This person's working this field, he's picking up the stones along the way, and he started sensing, k'meduma ani she'schoik sacha gubi ha'yehudim. I think the Jews were making fun of me. So he was an Eini Yehudi. He went to the Jews. He said, where can I get oil? Yerushalayim, to Tzur. They send him to Gush Cholav, Bechelkei Shalasher. He meets this farmer, and this person who's schwitzing in the field, he's the one that's going to give him a million mana of oil. Says the Gemara, Kim Shagili Iroi, when he came to Sidi Yitzirlai, Shivcha Soi Kumkum Shalkamim. He was greeted by his Shivcha, and she took out hot water, v'rochatz by yad v'rakel, hoitzia leisafel shozal melei Hashem. Afterwards, she took out a golden basin that was filled with oil, v'tava by yad v'raglov. And he washed his hands and his feet from working in the field the entire day out of a basin that was made out of gold, and not with water, but rather with oil. He lived b'chelkei shalasher, and he was a living embodiment of a kiyum of the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas V'zayis HaBracha, Ula Asher Amar V'toivel B'Shem En Rak. It says the Gemara, L'achash Achlo V'shasso, after they ate and drank, Madad L'Shem B'Meir Ribay, he gave him his million mana of oil. Amar Leis, he told him, Klum at the Tzorach D'Yoyser. By the way, do you need any more? This is a good account. Amar Leis, he told him, Hein, he does, Elish Eli Damim, but I just don't have the money for it. Amar Leis, he told him, Imat Reitze, if you want, Likach, Kach, you can take it, Vani Eilich Imcha, I'll escort you, I'll take you home. And when you get home, you'll give me the money then. The etel dam. Matal leshem b'shmeina asa ribay. He took another 180,000 mana. Amru, it is said, lohiniach oiseo ish. In order to carry all this oil, so they needed a fleet. So it is said that they didn't leave over, not a horse, not a ferret, which is a mule, like gamav or a camel, like chamar. They rented every car in Eretz Yisrael. Shelo yisachro. Kivit shekeli ira. When he came to the city, yatsu anche ira lekalsai. So the people of the city, they came out to meet this agent, this broker, and they were praising him for what a gvir he was. Amar lehem, so he told him, loy li kal suni. No, don't. I'm a balchayv. I'm not the person you should be praising. El lozeh shabayimi. He's the gvir. Shemadad li shem b'mei ribay. Not just that, v'ari noy shabi b'shmoy nasa ribay. I owe him another 180,000. Makay mashin emar. And he said, this episode was a kiyum of the pasuk, a pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech said, Yesh mis asher ve'en kol. There are people that walk around as gvirim, and really they don't have anything. Misreishesh, then there are other people that everybody think is an ani, v'hoi rav, and really he's a great gvir. Right here, the agent, he looked like he's the great gvir over here. In the meantime, somebody paid him a few shekels to go ahead and broker this deal, and not just that, he had to figure out where he was going to come up with another 180,000 money. Whereas this farmer, this person who was a pashta person, old school, worked in the field, worked his own business, didn't hire anybody, and he was obviously sitting on a hoin rav. So the agent was the yes mis asher ve'en kol. The farmer, the person that owned the oil, he was the misroishesh ve'hoin rav. Either way, before we go weiter, just one ha'ara. So we mentioned the pasuk, ula asher amar, baruch mibanim asher, Yehi Ritzui Echav, V'Toivel B'Shem Enraglo. And obviously, the Gemara brought the Pasuk for the end of the Pasuk, that Asher was Toivel B'Shem Enraglo. Why are we talking about Shemen? Because the Mishnah is discussing the Shemen that was used for the Menachos, and that ideally, Alpha, the best Shemen in Eretz Yisrael, came from a place called Takoya. Shniyala was Regev Be'ever Ayardim, but it seems there was a lot of oil B'Chelkei Shel Asher, and this was really a kiyum of this Pasuk, V'Toivel B'Shem Enraglo. What's the beginning of the Pasuk? Really, in this pasuk, there's three brachas. Baruch mibanim Asher. Asher is going to be gebenched with good kids. Yehi ritzui echad. He's going to be beloved. He's going to be merutza. His brothers are going to like him. V'toivel b'shem in ragloi. And he's going to have ashiros. He's going to have a tremendous amount of oil. Shlomo Kluger in his Sefer Imrei Shefer says a beautiful taich in the pasuk. And behektim and Eben Ezra in the end of Megillas Esther. We all know the very, very last pasuk in Megillas Esther. So Megillas Esther concludes, Himarchei ha-Yehudi mishna l'melech ha-chashverosh. V'gadol ha-Yehudim v'ratzui l'roiv echov. Doirish toiv la'amoy v'doirish shalim l'chol zaris. So this is the very last pasuk of Megillas Esther. And it talks about Mordechai ha-Yehudi. He was mishna l'melech ha-chashverosh. He was the second in command. He was gadol ha-Yehudim v'ratzui l'roiv echov. Why the roiv echad? So the Gemara Masechtas Megillah says it was roiv echad v'loy kol echad Megillah tezayin amadeis melamed shepirshim mimenu miktsa sanhedrin. After the story of Purim, Mordechai became a Mishul Melech HaChashverosh, and he became involved in politics. Askanos. Obviously, he was doing it for the Tzorich of Klal Yisrael, but this is Mordechai Yehudi, who was a member of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And there were members of the Sanhedrin that felt that it was wrong, that Mordechai HaTzadik should not have left Beis Medrash, he should not have left his Avodas HaKodesh, and instead get involved in political affairs, even though it was for the interest of Klal Yisrael. As a result, Pirshon Mimenu Miktza Sanhedrin, thus he was Ratzui L'Roi Vechav, he wasn't Ratzui L'Kol Echav. But Eben Ezra explains the Pasuk, Kedarkoi, Al derech hapshat. He says, "V'rotzu l'roi v'echot ki ein yecholis ba'adam l'ratzas akol b'avrkinos achim." He says, Mordechai had too much going for him. He was Mishul Melech HaChashverosh. He's Gadol HaYehudim. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. He's married to Esther Hamalka. There was just too much. And because he had too much going for him, it was inevitable, says Devin Ezra, that people were going to be jealous. And as a result, he was only rotzu l'roi v'echot. It's not because of anything he did. No, he was right for becoming the Mishul Melech HaChashverosh. But says Ibn Ezra, you want to know why he was Rotzi L'Roi Vechad and not L'Kol Echad? Because somebody who has what Mordechai HaTzadik has inevitably is going to have people that are going to detract him, people that are not going to be Matzachem by him. The reason is Pashit, simple, good old-fashioned kinnah. Thus, he was only Rotzi L'Roi Vechad. What came to mind was a tshuva from the Neid Yehuda that we always speak out. This is one of the most famous tshuvas in Neid Yehuda. It's in Yerideya Tinyana Simin Yud. It's famous because it's where the Neid Yehuda talks about hunting. So there was a great segvir that sent the Neid Yehuda a shayla. He told him that he owned hundreds of acres of forest, and he liked sometimes on a Sunday afternoon to go hunting. And he asked the Neid Yehuda if it's okay. And the Neid Yehuda told him, hunting, he says, whoever heard that a Yid goes hunting? He says, there's two people in the Torah that went hunting. Esav was a hunter and Nimrod was a hunter. He says, this kan yiddish amaisa. So this is the part that's quoted in yeshivas, that even though it's not usher, but still, it's not a Yiddish thing. But the truth is, there's so much in this Tshuvas Neid of Yehuda beyond that well-known excerpt of it. But at the very end, the Neid of Yehuda tells the Yid as follows. He says, "Velule ahavasi l'hagvir hamufursim amidas tervis." Where it weren't the fact that I love you so much, someone that apparently was mufursim with midas tervis, le'yayisi mizdakik l'hoshav al sheilu kazu, I would have never answered the shayla. Like the Neid of Yehuda had to prioritize. He had a triage when it came to answering shaylas. He got shaylas from all over the world. And there's always like an excuse, so to speak, why the Neid of Yehuda picked certain shaylas to respond to. He says, really, I wouldn't have responded to the shayla. In terms of priorities, I don't think this is top priority. Could you go hunting in your backyard? But at the same time, I felt that this was necessary. Why? Because I know that you and your family have a wonderful reputation. I have to protect your family. Because I am sure that you have soinim. You know why? Because they hate you. There have to be people that can't forgive what you have. And as a result, that kina brings to sinna, and I have to protect your family. And it's just, you're too vulnerable. And that's why I'm writing the shayla. I don't think you should do it, because people are going to hear about it, and all it's going to do is it's going to ruin your wonderful reputation. That's the Eben Ezra. That Mordechai was guilt, what became subject to this sinna machmas kina. Regardless, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, that's pshat in the pasuk. Ula asher amar, bonar mi baruch asher is going to have wonderful kids. V'toivel b'shem in ragloi, he's going to be a gevaldig gvir. But at the same time, he ritzu yechav. He's not going to be only ratzu l'roi vechav like Mordechai. He's going to be ritzu yechav. That's the bracha. The bracha is he's going to have so much, but at the same time, he's going to be ritzu yechav. It's interesting that, so the first of the three bachas mentioned in this pasuk is baruch mi bonar asher. If you take a look at Rashi Chumash, Rashi says, "Ro'isi b'sefri, ein locha b'chol ha-shvatim she'nizbarech b'banim ka'asher." There were no shvatim that had bracha with banim like Asher. Says Rashi, but the ein yodea ketzad. Sefri doesn't explain. And I don't know in what way Asher was nizbarech b'banim more than all the other shvatim. It's interesting because Rashi in the next line, literally, in the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, not even Rebbe and Meiri. The next line says Rashi, Yehirut Soyechav. What does that mean? Davar Achar Shayu Benoisav Nois. His daughters were very beautiful. Vulusha Nema Bedivre Ayamim Hu Avi Birzoyis Shayu Benoisav Nesuois Lekayhanim Gedoilim. Umelachin Hanim Shachim B'Shemen Zayis. Says Rashi, Mamish in the next line, that Asher was Ritzu Yechav. What does it mean he was Ritzu Yechav? Shayu b'nois of nois. He had very beautiful daughters. And the Kehanim Gedoilim, and the Melachim, when they came to choose a bride, they would take
their wives from Chelkei Shel Asher. Poshit, you would think, maybe that's the Baruch Mibanam Asher. Rashi says, Eni Yodea Ketzad, I don't know what the Baruch Mibanam Asher is. Rashi says, Mamash, in the next breath, Shayu Benois of Nois. Maybe that was the Baruch Mibanam Asher. But either way, Rashi doesn't seem to be happy with that being what the Pasuk means when it says Baruch Mibanam Asher. But regardless, Asher, in addition to all the brachos, he also had this ma'ilo, shayu b'noisav, nesuos, l'kayhanim, g'doylam, u'molachim, hanim, shamachim, b'shechon zayis. His edims were all melachim that were kayhanim, g'doylam. Why? It's a pashup shah, like Rashi says. Shayu b'noisav, nois. I'll tell you a classic meshachachma. And Meir Simcha, on this pasuk, in Parshas, v'zois ha-bracha, he says a different shah. He says, based on a tanud ve'liyo. The tanud ve'liyo is also dashing in these psukim regarding Asher. So what's the next pasuk? Baruch Mibanam Asher Yiritzu Yechav Tehev Hashem in Raglai. It's not finished. Barzel Unechoshes Min Olecha Uchiyamecha Davecha. A little bit of a hard pasuk. But the Tanit Ve'Liyo teaches the pasuk as follows. What does it mean? Uchiyamecha Davecha Amru Chachamim Al Benoisav Shalasha Shehaskeina Kibisula. That the skeina was like a psula. In what way? Psula in Ladav. This week's parasha. Elo Chayisara. When she was 100, she was like she was 20. When she was 20, she was like 7. Asher had this bracha in his family. Shehaskeina kibesula. Vahabesula ein ladamim. A besula doesn't have any dam sulim. Shenemar barzul and chayshes min alecha uchiyamecha davech. It's exactly how the Tanav El Yo Rabba is explaining the pasuk Ayin Sham. It's Perek Tes if you want to look it up. But says the Tanav El Yo that Asher had a bracha. That Bnoisav Shal Asher was Skena Psula, Vapsula Ein Ladam. In other words, they didn't have any bonnet. Says Remeir Simcha, Yesh Loima, that's the reason that the Kehanim Gedoilim used to marry Dafka mi Bnois Asher. Because a Kohen Gadol has to be very careful not to become Tameh. Tumah is very, very important. Mafishon like Kohen Achar. It was a very big Esek. You don't want the Kohen Gadol to ever become Tameh. So innate sense, says Remeir Simcha, for the Kohen Gadol to marry Dafka mi Bnois of Shal Asher. Why mi Bnois of Shal Asher? Because they didn't have Dam Nida. Being that they didn't have Dam Nida, you're never going to run into issues of Safik Nida, Safik Tumah. Remeir Simcha says so many of the Safik Tumah issues that you find in Tumah v'Tahira is Nida related. But being that they had the bracha uchiya mecha davecha, it was a bracha seemingly, it's in the v'zayis bracha. They were skena kipsula. There was no dam nida. If there's no dam nida, you're never going to run into suffix issues. That's why the Kohen Gadol would go out of his way. It was for that sense. But says Remeir Simcha, if that's the case, you can understand the beginning of the pasuk also. Baruch mibanam Asher. Asher needed a bracha, says Remeir Simcha, to be baruch. You know why he needed a bracha? Because the Gemara says in Masechtes Ksubas Dav Yud, shekol isha shedamem merubin banel merubin ukeshem shesor yafali isa kach damim yafali. If they didn't have Dam Nida, so that's not a skula for Puruvu. So how are they going to have children? You know what the answer was? This bracha. Baruch Mibanam Asher. At the same time that they were Barzalu Nechayshas Min Olecha Uchiyamecha Davecha, which means Shaskeinu Kipsula Vapsula Ein Ladamim, but at the same time they also had a bracha. They had Baruch Mibanam Asher. I'll just tell you one other ha'ara. I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim, right here on this pasuk in his Sefer on Sefer Devarim. So he says that v'yesh lahoysef oyd be'inyan mashik lehanim gedoylem nasud nashim ibnois asher dafker. So Meir Simcha said that maybe it was related to the fact that they didn't have nida, being that they didn't have nida, so there was no suffic and nida issues that would be a deterrent for the Kohen Gadol being able to do the avoda. So he goes al derech or Meir Simcha, but he's just moisef noifach. He adds one beautiful kinech, and that's based on a well-known ravid. We spoke about this ravid years ago, who brings from the sefer hamikutzais. Chadash brings it in Arichayim Simen Kuf Chav Ches, who says a chiddush neiru lahalacha. He says that a koyein whose wife is a nida shouldn't duchen. The halacha is not like this sefer hamkutzos, but the Ravid brings it, and the Prichadish brings it, and the Chassam Seif and the Tshuva discusses it. But the point is that this Chiddush was, is that if a Koyen's wife is a Nida, he shouldn't duchen. The reason is, because a Nida, midirabbanon, is metame ba'oil. And if that's the case, if the Kohen is living with his wife, that's a Nida, in the same oil, so he now is Tomei on some rabbinic level, and as a result, he's not supposed to duchen. I think the Chassam Sofer mentions it in the Tshuva in the context of why we don't duchen bizman hazeh. But regardless, B'chadosh brings it, and he says that nobody should be mafars in this, because it's not a libud halacha. Then he says at the end, mutav shiu shoygin v'alyu mazidim, which sounds like he was masking to the Chiddush of the Sefer HaMekutzais. He just said, it's not a libud hilchasa, so memeila, don't be mafars in it. But regardless,
regardless, that's this chiddush. So he says, if that's the case, it's gevaldik. The kohen gadol, who's living with his wife, if she's going to become a nida, now midrabanan, there's going to be an issue of tumas nida because of the tumas oil that he somehow got because of the fact that he's living in the same oil with his wife. So madach, the ravid brings it with regards to birchas koyanim. So kal v'chaymer, ben benoish kal v'chaymer, if you're discussing the kohen gadol, who has to go in and do the avodah b'kedusha v'tahira. So if he's going to be living with a nida, you're going to run into issues of tumas oil. So says the Megadim Chadashim, al derech Rameir Simcha, maybe that's why the Kohen Gadol married Dafka b'Bnei Asher, because B'Nai Asher was chiyom necha davecha. As a result, they didn't have dam su'ah, they didn't have dam nida. It's like this, you don't have to worry about it. This is the first aura. We will get back to some more auras a little bit later. Ey Mevi'ah, let me base us all. So the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to take oil from olives that grow in a field that's fertilized. Right? The Gemara, but Tanya, we're learning to the Brisa, Eim Mevi'en an Piknoin, Ve'im Hevi Pasol. So the Mishnah had said, Eim Mevi'en an Piknoin. It's the Vechulu, really, that the Gemara is going on. The Mishnah said, Eim Mevi'en an Piknoin. You're not allowed to take an Piknoin, which the Gemara soon is going to explain means unripened olives. If the oil came from such an olive, it's not okay, like katchila, them heavy kasha. The Gemara's kasha is, here you see them heavy puzzle, says the Gemara b'pnesha who's sraf. And the reason is, because being that the olive didn't fully ripen, so the oil that comes out of it is, it's just some discharge, but it's not really oil. Rav Yosef, like kasha, harab chia, harab shem barabi, that it could be, it's true there's a steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa, but it could be one was going like Rav Chia, the other was going like Rav Shimon bar Rebbe. The Gemara says Rav Chia Zorakleh, because Rav Chia, if he would have such a olive, he would throw it away. Rav Shimon bar Rebbe, no, he would use oil from such a olive. Metabulbe, he would take his bread and he would dip it into it. The simonich, and a simon to remember which one of these tanoim, Rav Chia or Rav Shimon bar Rebbe, would use it or not, says the Gemara, Ashirim mekamtzim. The Oysher very often is a Kamtsan. Rav Shimon bar Rebbe was Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's son. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was an Oysher Muflik. Ashirim Mekamtsan. And as a result, says the Gemara, Rav Shimon bar Rebbe, who was the one that didn't want to throw it away, Rav Chia didn't have so much money, so yeah, he threw it away. But the Grace of Gvir, right? The rich get richer. So Rav Shimon bar Rebbe was Ashirim Mekamtsan. We'll get back to this. Shisha Chadoshim B'Shemen Amor. That's, of course, a pasuk in Esther. May Shemen Amor. Rav Huda bar Chia Amar Stachtas, referring to balsam oil. Rav Yirin bar Abba Amar Shemen Zayish Lehevi Shlish. It's referring to shemen that comes from an oil that didn't grow yet a third. It's unripe. Tanya Rav Yehuda Omer and Piknun is shemen zayis shelo yehevi shlish. So on Piknun is this shemen hamor. Why do people use it? And specifically, why did the women have to use it before they met with Achashverosh? Shemesher es aseir, because it removes hair, u'ma'adin es habasar, and it causes the skin to glow. Ein mevi'in min agargarin shenashu b'mayim. Tanu rabbanan, shem ezayis kavush. If somebody has oil that came from ezayis that was pickled, shaluk, that was cooked, shari, it soaked in water, v'shel shemarim, or it came from the sediment of olives, v'shel reyach ra, or if it has a bad smell, lo yov, v'im hevi pasal, lo yirabo, rabbi klar d'shayla, hikdisha ma. What's the halacha? If somebody is makdish these olives, you get malchus for being makdish a balmum or not? What's the shaila? Even the pasuk balmum dami. If someone's makdish a behemoth that's a balmum, he gets malchus. So if somebody would take shemen, similar gemara in Shabbos stuff, from an olive that's pasul to be used as part of the mincha, now he's makdish it. Do we say that it's pasul in the balmum sense, and as a result, you get the lavin of balmum? Or you do in balmum ela bebehema. It's true, it's pasul, but the cheftz of a balmum is behema related. This is not considered a balmum. Says the Gemara, the halacha is teiko. So before we go weiter, just one more ha'ara, and that is that the Gemara mentioned that Reb Chia and Reb Shimon ben Rebbe had different minhagim as it related to unripened olives. Reb Chia was zarekle; he would get rid of it. He wouldn't use the oil, and it's based on Reb Chia's minig that the Brisa says that ein mevi'en an piknun v'mehevi pasul, because nobody uses it. Reb Shimon ben Rebbe metavol be, he would use it. V'simonech, and a good way to remember which one used it and which one didn't use it is ashirim mekamtzim. Pashat, the Gemara seems to be saying that the reason Reb Shimon ben Rebbe used it is because he was an Oysher and ashirim mekamtzim. Thus, Reb Shimon ben Rebbe used it. Reb Chia didn't use it. But really, it's shver. Reb Shimon ben Rebbe was a kamtzim. That's the pshat. The truth is, what
would seem like a more reasonable pshad is Rav Shem Bar Rebbe was Rav Yudah Hanasi's son. And Rav Yudah Hanasi, we know the Gemara says in Ksubas Kuf Dalet, that B'shas P'tirosa Zokav Eser Etzba'oisav, he lifted his 10 fingers and he said that despite all the wealth that he had, he wasn't nenem in a oilam azah, filu ke'etzba ketana. So Kubi Rav Shem Bar Rebbe followed in his father's ways, and his father, Rav Yudah Hanasi, despite his phenomenal wealth, but at the same time, he wasn't nene from his wealth. So I'm sure Rebbe wasn't either nene from his wealth. So maybe that's the reason that Faker, he was metabel bay. The average person maybe wouldn't have, but Rav Shimon ben Rebbe is following his father's minhag precious. He was a nenem in oil mazah, filo bat spektana. Ah, a parish would use it. What's the question? A parish would use it. Sounds like it's royal achila. It's just a question. Would the man on the street use it? And Rav Shimon Rebbe wasn't the man on the street. He was a parish. His father was literally was able to say Eidos b'shas p'tirosa that he was never nenem oil mazah. So could be in that vein. So what came to mind was Tosfos and Masechtos Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara over there brings this week's parashas Toldos, and Rashi brings right in the beginning of parashas Toldos that Yaakov and Esav, Rebbe and Antoninus, and it is said, says the Gemara, Rashi quotes it, Avodah Zarah Yud Aleph Amar Aleph, that regarding Rebbe and Antoninus, shalei pasku me'al shulchanam, lei chazeres, v'lei kishus, v'lei tznoim, lei b'maisach chamav, v'lei b'maisach shamav. So you walked into Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's house, you invited over for dinner. It was set literally kederech sham alocha mois Antoninus as well. Says Taisvis, Freik Taisvis, Akasha, what's going on? I forgot the Minon. She Rebbe loy nedim enoy l'mazah, filo bat spektano. Doesn't the Gemara say that Rebbe Yudah Nasi said he wasn't nedim enoy l'mazah, filo bat spektano? And here you find that his table was literally set like a king. Says Taisvis, mikol makam, oichle shulchanai hayu rabin. That is true, he himself wasn't nena. But the oichle shulchanai, that's already a whole different story. See, he wasn't preparing the food for himself, he was preparing the food for the oichle shulchanai. What about his sons, Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe? Okay, so Mestam and his son were and he followed in his father's way. But I'll tell you something very interesting. And that is that Rabbi Yaakov Emden, a Dover Chadash, on this Gemara right here, in the Dagoyis Yaivitz, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, again, Tosa asking a kasha. Tosa has a steer between two Gemaras. The Gemara by the Zohar Yud Aleph says, regarding Rebbe, Shalai Pasuk Me'al Shulchanu, Lai Chazeres, Lai Kishuf, Lai Tznoin, Lai B'Maisa Chamev, Lai B'Maisa Kshamev. Rabbi Yudah Nasi's table was literally the way kings set their table. Problem is, this is another Gemara, Ksubas Daf Kuf Dalet, that Rabbi Yudah Nasi said B'shas P'ti Rasi that he wasn't nenem in Oilam Hazeh, I feel the best B'ktana. It's a stereo. Tais says, it's not a stereo. Rabbi Yudah Nasi himself wasn't nenem. Oichle Shulchanoi. That's already a whole nother story. A well-known Tais. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Nirali, the Lekasha Midi. And this is something that if Rabbi Yaakov Emden didn't say, nobody could say. The Masha Amash, Loi Nenem B'etz B'ktana. Kavanasi, he meant something else. What he meant to say was, is that had it Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, what was his legacy as far as Gadol HaDor goes? He was a Nasi, there were many Nasim. What was Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's legacy? He was the author of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wrote the Mishnah. Chiber HaMishnayas, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, V'kosvan, and he wrote them be'etzba oislav. He wrote them with his fingers. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, you know what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was trying to say, B'shas P'tir Asai? He picked up his 10 fingers and he said, I gave over these 10 fingers to Klal Yisrael. I gave over my etzbois. I spent a life of writing Mishnayos so that there'll be a Teresh Shavah Peh because of Eis Lassos L'Hashem Teiru Teresach, like this Torah would have a Hemshech. We could not be learning Daf Yomi today if not Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's mysterious nefesh. And he did it with his etzbois. And he says, I never took anything from it. I did it 100% Bechinam. I never asked for anything in return. And that's all that he was trying to say. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he wasn't trying to say he was never nenem oil mazeh. That's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's table was set like Antoninus' table. It was set for a feast, the way kings ate. What did he mean to say? Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, a whole drush. It's unbelievable. He says what he meant to say was something completely different. He meant to say that I gave over these 10 fingers and I was never nene be'etzpektan. Why are you talking about it as etzpois? Why is etzpektan? What does etzpe have to do with anything? Etzpe was have to do with taifa. He says nothing to do with it. That's a different point. He meant etzpois because he gave over his etzpois. And mean that he gave over his etzpois, that's what he was trying to say. That he did it bechinam, he never took anything. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden's ma'ir, the obvious ar. Rabbi Nasi was an oisher, muflik. He was a gvir. So what, he was going to charge people? Where was he going to charge people? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden clearly was being ma'ir of that. So he says, V'afilu she'efshar oz adayin lehoi asher. Who says Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was an usher when he put together the Mishnayos? I mean that it's not muchach. So even though you're going to tell me, he was such an usher. Why is that such a godless? Who said he was an usher when he wrote the Mishnayos? Azozak Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So the truth is, we have a marimakum on this. Was Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi an usher when he wrote the Mishnayos? We have a Maran Bakim that we spoke at, it could be, but a few times. And that is the Teres Chaim in the Sechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Vav Amin Aleph. The Gemara over there says, a very well-known Gemara, V'amar Rabba Brei Derava, V'itema Rav Hillel Brei Derav Velz. V'imais Moshe V'ad Rebbe, Lo'i Matzinu Torah V'gdul B'makam Echa. From Moshe Rabbeinu until Rebbe, there was no Torah V'gdul B'makam Echa. Then the Gemara asks from a whole bunch of different Tanoim, and different people, and Kairach, etc., etc. And the Gemara at the very end says, Amar Rav Adamar Ahav, Afani Yoimer. I have one more Gadol to add to that list. Moshe Rabbeinu and Rebbe, who am I adding? Me, Moshe Rebbe v'ad Rav Ashi, loy matzinu toyer v'gdul b'malkam echad. So there were three yidden that were toyer v'gdul b'malkam echad. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and Rav Ashi. Says the Torah Schayim, a kadmon, Kedega brings the Torah Schayim. Says the Torah Schayim, what did Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and Rav Ashi have in common? They all contributed a chelik of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Shavikzav. The Chamishe Chumshe Torah. It's Teiras Moshe. Rav Yehuda Anasi wrote the Mishnah. Rav Ashi, together with Rav Nina, wrote the Gemara. Says the Teiras Chaim that in order to take upon such a project of writing Mishnah, Gemara, you had to be Torah v'gdul v'makam echad. It wasn't enough to have Torah, because the resources that were necessary to embark upon such a project required gedula. Rav Yehuda Anasi was qualified to write the Mishnah because he was Torah v'gdula v'magam echad. Rav Ashi was able to write the Gemara. He was a gadol, avada. He was Torah, but he was also gedula. And it was necessary to have Torah and gedula v'magam echad. Otherwise, a project like this could never have been done. But al kapanim, the Teres Chaim is before the Rav Yehuda Anasi wasn't Osho when he wrote the Mishnah. It was only because of his Ashirus, it was because of his Torah v'gedula b'magam echad. We have two Marmakomas. We have a Teres Chaim in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Vav, and a Hagoyis Yaivitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph. Incidentally, another very big Chiddush that comes out from this Rabbi Yaakov Emden is that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi wrote the Mishnah. Truth is, the Rabbi Yehuda Anasi write the Mishnah. It's Rabbi Tzvi Erschayis and Rabbi Tzchiyos. There's actually a riot to this in the very next Gemaras. We'll see. But Rabbi Tzvi Erschayis in many places says Rabbi Yehuda Anasi never wrote the Mishnah. He just put it together. He was mesader it. He has riots to this. But really, it wasn't written until years later. Bottom line is Avada, Rabbi Yaakov Emden's pshat is predicated on Eser Etzbois, that he wrote it. That's the whole punchline. It was his fingers. It was Ksivas Yodoy. Regardless, Zok the Mishnah Vaitesh. Zaysim Hain. There are three times that an olive tree is harvested. Ubahen, Shloisha, Shloisha, Shman. And every time a zayis is harvested, there are three grades of oil that are taken out of each one of these olives. And the Mishnah describes this in great detail. Zok the Mishnah, Hazayis Harishon. The first harvest is Megar Gribresh Hazayis. Is from olives that come from the very top of the tree. Rashi says that the top of the tree is the most exposed to the sun. As a result, it's the very top of the tree where the zeisim start ripening first. The koitesh, so the person that's making oil, would take those zeisim, he would crush them, and he would take these crushed olives, he would put them into a basket. The reason he would put them into a basket is baskets have holes in them, and the oil would drip through the holes. Rabbi Yehuda says, Sviva Sasal. He wouldn't put it on the bottom of the basket, but he would put it on the sides of the basket. Zer Rishon, the oil that came out from this, so all that was done so far is the olives were pressed and put into a basket, and oil was just oozing out of the bottom of the basket. That is the Rishon, this is the first grade, the first shlav of oil that's going to come from these zeisim. Then he would take a beam, and he would press the olives a second time. It wasn't done with a beam, it was done with stones. Zesheni, oil would come from there. That's the second grade. Then they would take the leftover olives and they would grind them. Zeshlishi, and that from that oil that came from there was the third. Harishon l'menayra. The first oil was kosher to be used for the menayra. In other words, the second two cannot be used for the menorah. V'ashar l'menachas. Obviously, you can use the first for menachas also, but the point is that whereas you were only allowed to use that first oil that oozed out from the bottom of the basket for the menorah, as it relates to the menachas, you can use the first, you can use the second, you can even use the third. So this is from the first harvest of Zeisim. These are the olives that are the top of the tree closest to the sun. Hasheni, Megargre B'Reish Agag. This is from the part of the olive tree that was parallel to the roof
of people's houses. So it's not the top of the tree, but it's pretty high up. This was the second harvest. They ripened second. What would he do? The same thing he did with the first. First, the person that's making the oil would take the olives, he would press them, put them into a basket. Not on the bottom of the basket, but on the sides of the basket. Is that Rishon? Oil would come out, that's the Rishon. That's the first grade. Tell him that he would press it with stones, that's Shani. That's the second grade. Chazar v'tachan v'tan, then he would grind it, more oil would come out, says Shlishi, Harishon Lemenaira. You were able to use this Rishon Lemenaira, Vashar Lemenachis, and the rest from Menachis. Shlishi, what about the third harvest? That's all the leftover, whatever's left. Oitne Bebei Sabbat. He would take it and he would put it into a vat. Now, the problem with the Shlishi was it never really fully ripened on the tree. So now we're going to have to artificially, genetically modify it on some level to make sure that it's going to properly ripen before we make oil from it. So they would take it and put it in a vat, actually you lock until it's spoiled a little bit. Then they would put it on top of the roof, koitesh, press it, not on the bottom of the basket, but rather on the side of the basket. Is that Rishon? Any oil that came out, that was the Rishon. Then they would press it with stones, then they would grind it, again, Harishon Lemenaira, Vashar and Lemenacha. So really the process was the same. So every time olives were harvested, they would extract oil from it three times. The first time, they would press it, put it into a basket, like this on the bottom of the basket, the side of the basket, oil would ooze out. That oil was considered the purest oil. That was oil that had to be used for the menorah. Then they would take a beam, it says stones, they would press it again, oil would come from it. The third time, they would take the leftover olives, they would grind it, and any oil that came out would be used as well. So again, the Rishon was had to be used for the menorah. All three were kosher to be used for the menorah. The Mishnah said that Hazayas Harishon, the first harvest of olives, was Megargaroi Berosh Hazayas. And the Amiram weren't sure what the proper gears in the Mishnah was. Megargaroi Tanan or Megalgaroi Tanan. I didn't look at the on the Gemara, but it's very often on such Gemaras that the Maratzach brings Rayas to his thesis that we just mentioned 12 seconds ago, that the Mishnah wasn't written by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, but it was orally transmitted. All he was Masadrit. Because the Maratzchias held that you find many Gemaras where the Amiram weren't sure about the proper Gersa of a Mishnah. Why weren't they sure? Open up the Mishnayas and you'll see. Vaisaisa wasn't written. It was all the Messiah, and that's why there was confusion. Now, Pasha Pshat, you would say, maybe there was a question in exactly how it was written. Was it written Megargaroi or was it written Megalgaloi? But the Maratzach wasn't okay with that, and he held that from the fact that the Gemara does this, Simchas Beis HaShe'eva or Simchas Beis HaChashuva, Ketzad Ma'abrin, the fifth parak of Masech Tzeirvin, the Gemara is not sure, is it Ma'abrin with an Aleph or with an Ayin? Ayin Sham, some places, the Maratzach makes this Hagar. Either way, that was the Shaila. Is the word Megargaroi or is the word Megalgaloi? Megargaroi means to be malakit, to harvest. Megalgaloi means to ripen, which would suggest they had to wait until it fully ripened before they took him off. Either way, it says the Gemara Tashma, bring you a Rai from a Braisa. The Braisa, apparently, the Amiram knew was properly vetted out. And in that Braisa, it's clear one way. How so? The Tanya, and this Braisa is a whole chazara of everything we just saw. Shemen Zayas Mizeisoi, the Shemen Zayas that was used for the menorah had to come directly from the Zayas. Mekan Amru, Zayas Rishoin, Megalgaloi. This is why we're bringing the Braisa, for that one word. It's not Megargaroi, it's Megalgaloi. Beresh HaZayas, for coins of the base about, they bring it to the base about. Betechna Berichayim. And they would grind it. The oil that came out naturally, that's the Rishon. Then they would use a beam. Then they would grind it. And the oil that came from that is the Hoyishlishi. The first grade for the menorah, the other two, even for menachas. The same was done with the second harvest of Zayasin. The Zayashlishi had to be done a little bit differently. Here they had to bring it into the Beis Abad. They put it into a vat. Actually, lock until it's spoiled. They put it onto the roof. They made it like a tamara. Actually, a zuvu meimav until its water started flowing. The coins of the Beis Abad. The toichonai berichayim. They would grind it. The nois and the salam. The shemad yaitzim imen is a hoya rishon. Tom bekoira. Then they press it with a beam. Shemad yaitzim imen is a hoya sheni. And then they would grind it. Rabbi Yehuda has a few haggais, two of which are mentioned in our Mishnah, a third one that he's going to mention right here, as far as how this process went. He says, number one, in the beginning, they weren't toichin it, right? That was one difference in the Braisa versus the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, when they took the Zesim off the tree. So the first thing they did was is they were kaitesh. They pressed it with a mortar. And then after, or in a mortar. And then they would put it into a sow, and the oil would come out. The Braisa said they would toichel it. That's how they got that first oil out. So Rabbi Yehuda here is commenting on the Braisa, what we have in our Mishnah. Nah, toichnei b'rechayim. But rather, koitshe b'machtashes. That's number one. Number two, v'layhoyetayim b'kairet. This Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah. They never used the beam, el-babadim, they always used stones. Number three, v'layhoyetayim b'salim. They never put it on the bottom of the basket. El-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el-el- koitesh. Our Mishnah said that they were koitesh. They weren't toichen right at the beginning. They were koitesh. Who is that? Mani Rabbi Yehudi. The problem is toichasal. Everything else in the Mishnah seems to be the Rabbanan, not the Rabbi, because Rabbi Yehuda is commenting on the Mishnah. Right? Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it wasn't on the bottom of the Sal, it was on the side of the Sal. They didn't use the Kari, they used the Rabbanan. Us on the Rabbanan. So who's the Tana of the Mishnah? Is this not Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda or is it the Rabbanan? The Gemara gives the obvious answer. Hi, Tana, Sal, Gavazah, Bechadu, Bala, Gavazah, Bechadu. No, the Tana of the Mishnah is the Tana of the Mishnah. It's not Rabbi Yehuda and it's not the Rabbanan. He held like Rabbi Yehuda that they used a Koitesh. They were koitesh it as opposed to being teichin it right in the beginning. But at the same time, he held that they used the koira, not like Rabbi Yehuda, who held they used avonim. He also held that they put it on the bottom of the sal, not like Rabbi Yehuda, who held that they put it on the side of the sal. The bottom line is, there are 9 different oils, technically, that come from every olive tree. Because the tree was harvested 3 times, and every time they harvested the olives, they extracted oil from it 3 times. Now, that note, zok the Mishnah. Harishoin sheberishoin in lemailahe menu. The first oil that came out of the first olives that were harvested, that's the shpitz. Hasheni shebereishoin, the second oil that came from the first olives that were harvested, v'harishon shebesheni, you have to hold cup, and the first oil that came from the second set of olives that were harvested, shavim, they're equal. Hashlishi shebereishoin, the third oil that came from the first esim, v'hasheni shebesheni, and the second oil that came from the second, the harishin shebeshlishi, and the first oil that came from the shlishi shavim, hashlishi shebesheni, the third oil that came from the sheni, v'hasheni shebeshlishi, feels like you vomit, and the second oil that came from the shlishi shav, hashlishi shebeshlishi, the third oil that came from the third harvest, ein lamata heimenu. There, but nobody dies. Ein lamate menu, that's the most inferior. So the best oil is the rishon sheberishon. The worst oil is the shlishi sheberishlishi. We'll see now that there's chilukim, and we really saw it in the previous Mishnah, between the oil that was used for the menorah and the oil that was used for menachas. For the menorah, it had to be the rishon. It didn't matter if it was the rishon sheberishon, the rishon shebesheni, probably asking the Gemara's kasha. I didn't know what you said, but... Oh, very good. That's Gemara's kasha. Very good. So the Rishon Sheber Rishon, the Rishon Sheber Sheni, the Rishon Sheber Shlishi were kosher for the Menorah, but the Shenis and the Shlishis of the respective harvests were not kosher for the Menorah. So you see clearly that there's a higher standard of the grade of oil necessary for the Menorah than for the Menachas. And the Mishnah says that really, it should be just the opposite. Really, af kol ha-menachas ha-yibidin shi'itin rishem zayizah. Why? Kal v'chem. Ma menayra she'ena la'achila. Tuna sheme ma dechib menayra. That wasn't used la'achila. It was just to light up the Beis HaMikdash. Required shem zayizah. Menachas she'en la'achila. Ena din she'itan rishem zayizah. Talmud loymer. So why is it not that way? It's exeris ha-kasav. Zach kasas la'mar. Ve'en zach kasas la'menachas. Based on psukim, shem zayich zach kasas la'mar. It's only la'mar that we require shem zayizah. Kosas, as opposed to the menachis, do not require this. Zok the Gemara, shavim. The Mishnah said that the sheni sheberishain and the rishain shebesheni are shava. So the Gemara asks the obvious question: Va'amrit rishain lemenayra, va'ashar lemenachis. But didn't we say that you can use the rishain shebesheni for the menayra, and you can't use the sheni sheberishain for the menayra? What does that tell you? That tells you the rishain shebesheni is better than the sheni sheberishain. Mishnah says that it's shava. What does it mean when we say that it's shavin? It means from a menachis perspective. And the point is as follows. The point is they're shav as far as the grade of oil goes. You want to know grade of oil? They're shav. Stating that, the Rishon is always going to have a Maila. The Maila that it's going to have is that it's going to be, number one, more zach, and number two, it was never used with the Kaira, it was never ground. So from the Menorah's technical requirements, you always have to have Rishon. So you want to know which is better? They're equal. They're equal. They both cost the same amount of money. They're both as chashev. But still,
technically, they're not the same. And there's certain technical requirements that the oil of the menorah needed that the oil for the melachas didn't need. So the oil of the menorah is always going to have to be a rishon based on its technical requirements. But at the same time, from a great perspective, the rishon shev v'sheni and the shev v'sheni are the same, and therefore, as it relates to menachas, there was no difference. You always want to use the best shemen for the mincha. It's all the same. Av kol menachas hayu b'tan rabban zach. It says regarding the menorah that the atot tzaves b'nei Yisrael. You all know this pasuk. The first pasuk of Ashes tzava. The yikhu elecha shemen zayich zach. Kosis lamar lahalis ner tamid. Zach the gemara brisa. Zach eli zach elonaki. It means it has to be pure. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says kosis and kosis elokatush. This is Rabbi Yehuda from Amman Aleph. It had to be pressed. Yochel ye zoch kosis pasal menachas. I would think that only the menorah is allowed to be zoch and kosis. Maybe the oil used for the mincha is not allowed to be zoch and kosis. Tamal loymer the isara in soilas balu bashem. It says clearly kosis. The isara in soilas balu bashem and kosis. Talking about the mincha, and it says you see it could be kosis. Okay, ma tamal loymer lamar mipnei achisachay. My chisachay. Amar abulaz atayru chasal menorah shal yisrael. Avadu you're allowed to use zoch and kosis for the mincha. The point is you don't have to use zach and kasa for the mincha. Why not? Because the mincha were brought very, very often. There were so many menachas. And the mincha, therefore, being that it was so shchiach, if you were going to have to use this type of oil, it would get very expensive. And atoyra chasa mamayna shal Yisrael, and it's for that reason that the Chachamim said that it's okay not to use it. Meaning, maybe l'katchila would be a nice thing to use it. But the point is, you don't have to use it. It's not the chachamim. This is on the biblical level. Ha-teira chasa al-mayim shalizot. So where did we have ha-teira chasa al-mayim shalizot recently? We had on the bottom of daf ayin vav amabez. The context over there was the lechem haponim. Do you have to buy the chitim? Could you buy silas? So it was in that concept that Reb Shimon said a halacha, and which was explained by Rabbi Elazar, that atayru chasa al mamayim shal Yisrael. We spoke out raid then, because there the Gemara brought a makar. So the Gemara very often will say atayru chasa al mamayim shal Yisrael and not bring a makar. But that's the one place in Shas where the Gemara brings a makar. The makar is v'shkisa es ha'eda v'es be'iram. By the Meimer Riva, v'shkisa es ha'eda v'es be'iram, as if to say that the miracle of water coming out of a rock was going to help not only the people, but also the behemoth. Why do we care about the behemoth? Oh, so we spoke at the time a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer and Chelek Zayin, and a tshuva from Nevi Yehuda, that there's a stira, because Rashi, many places in Shas, Rashi brings a different makar. Rashi brings a makar from Nigei Batim. The halach is that before the Kayan would come and potentially declare a house to be a mitzayra, so the pasuk says, we would tell the person, take everything out. Now what are you taking out? You're taking out the klicheres, because we're worried that maybe the bias is going to be tameh. Kol hasheba bias is going to end up them being tameh. Klicheres has no mikveh tahira. So as a result, we would say, take out the klicheres. Rashi brings, you see from here, atayru chasa amumayna shal Yisrael. So the kasha, the Chassam Sofer, the Yehuda and others ask, is the why does Rashi throughout Shas always say that, what's the makar atayru chasa amumayna shal Yisrael, ufinu hasheba bias? Why doesn't Rashi bring this Gemara Menachas Davayim Vavim Beis? And then we flipped the question. We said, really, Rashi's Makar is a Mishnah, Mishnah Masechtas Nagam. So the Kasha is more on the Gemara, not on Rashi. Rashi's quoting a Mishnah. If you can quote a Gemara, you quote a Mishnah. Of course, you quote a Mishnah. If you don't see, you quote a Mishnah. So why are we quoting a Gemara, not a Mishnah? Regardless, if you take a look at Rashi right here, Rashi also brings Ufinu as Abayis. This is another Rashi. We mentioned Rashi in Rosh Hashanah of Zion. We mentioned Rashi in Yuma Lamites. And now we have a Rashi in Menachas Peivav, where Rashi quotes Ufinu as Habayis as the Makar to Atayru Chasa al Mamoinim Shal Yisrael. Tzavis B'nei Yisrael, V'yikhu Eilecha, Shemin Zayizach. So we'll speak more about this in tomorrow's Daf Mitzvah Hashem. But this pasuk is very, very similar to the pasuk beginning of Parshas Tzavah. Now this pasuk is in Parshas Emor. Tzaves b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu elecha, shemen zayis zoch, kosis lamor lahalos ner tamim. I mean, it's almost verbatim, the first pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh. First pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh is va'ata tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael, and this pasuk is tzav es b'nei Yisrael. It's actually interesting, the Mefarshei HaChumash actually are bothered why va'ata tetzaveh begins with the words va'ata tetzaveh. Tzav es b'nei Yisrael, that's a nusach you find in the Torah. And there's different pshatim. Maisa, you have to make sure all the pshatim shtim with the fact that there is a pasuk that says this. Here you have a beforeish pasuk that says Tzaves b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu eilach Hashem and Zayizach. Regardless, says the Gemara, Amar Reb Shmuel Menachemeni eilach v'loyli. Hashem says Tzaves b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu eilach. It's eilach. It's for you. It's not for me. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Loi loi ra'anit tzarach." You think I need it? I don't need it. I don't need the shulchan b'tzafen menorah b'dar. And proof to the fact that I don't need the light is the fact that the shulchan isn't tzafen and the menorah isn't dar. Meaning, there would have been a havamina to think that the reason there was a mitzvah to light the menorah is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu dwells in the oil mayid. It's his house, kavi yachol, and as a result, the Kadosh Baruch Hu needs light. He needs light. And that's what Hashem is saying. You're not doing it for me. I don't need your R. You're doing it for yourself. Proof is because if it was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wouldn't it make sense that the light should be next to the Shulchan? The Shulchan is the Lechem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you usually, if you're sitting down to eat, and there's going to be a candle with dinner, so the candles are going to be next to the food. Here you have one on Tzaf and one on Dorm. That's the Raya, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is not for me. Loi la'achila anitzarech, v'loi la'oira anitzarech. So the Gemara, the Pasuk says, v'yas l'bayis chaloyne shkufim atumim. And this is the Pasuk of Malachim that describes the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash had windows, they were shkufim and they were atumim. Tana shkufim mibifnim, v'atumim mibichotz. They were white inside, and the outside they were narrow. Why? Again, to emphasize this point, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need light to come in from the outside. That this is Eidos, the menorah was Eidos, that the Shechinah was Shayar B'Yisrael. And if you can tell me, no, that wasn't the point of the menorah. It's not Eidos L'Yisrael, Shechinah Shayar B'Yisrael. But rather, the purpose of the menorah is because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the light. The 40 years of Eidos in the Midbar, how they have oil? The Ur came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So obviously that's not the tachlis of the menorah. Must be that it's Eidos. My Eidos. Where's the Eidos in the menorah? That the Shechinah is Shayar B'Yisrael. On my Ravos and Ner Maravi. It's referring to the Ner Maravi. They would put the same amount of oil in the Ner Maravi as they did in the other Neros. So there was a miracle with the Ner Maravi that it would burn longer than all the other Neros. Which ner was the ner maravi? That's a huge discussion in the Rishonim. Which ner it physically was. What exactly this line means, umimeno hayo madlik, ubo hayo mesayim, is also a big discussion in the Rishonim. The sugyas of menorah are actually coming up. That's going to come in the next few days and towards the end of the Masechta. We're already holding by the end of the Masechta. So we're going to come to a lot of gemaras that talk about the menorah. So we'll have opportunity again to talk about the ner maravi. But if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says that the ner maravi meant one of two things. The ner maravi was always the first one that was lit, and it was the last one that would remain lit. So there was always a small miracle related to the Ner Maravi. But Rashi says sometimes it was even a bigger miracle. Because sometimes in the morning, when the Kohen would come to be made to Vesaneiros, he would find that the Ner Maravi was still lit. He wouldn't extinguish it, and he would let it light as long as it had a light. And he would come back later at night, Beinu Abayim, to light the menorah, and it would still be lit. So either it would just light a little bit longer, it's like that one Chanukah that doesn't extinguish, it's a flakitzich, that's one, and that sometimes would happen. But alternatively, says Rashi, sometimes it was even a bigger miracle. The miracle was it would literally light straight through the day, regardless, some raid to speak about this Gemara, we left out some raid regarding Shem and Zayas, that's Shem and tomorrow's stuff.